This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. It is here. Playoff basketball on Sunday. Yes. And NFL draft less than a week away. Padres in town for the Astros. This is a good sports week lining up, man. Very good sports week, and we're getting it kicked off here on a Friday. If you are working today and you're in your car driving in, we appreciate you getting up with us. Check in with us on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-460. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Hello, Seth Payne.
What's up, man? This is it's an exciting weekend. You've got your Rockets jersey on, and it says yes. Pendergast on the back.
Indeed. Yes. Thank
Memorial
you to the
Herman in the front.
Thank you to the thank a little signage right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Rockets. As many of you have probably seen on social media, they hooked us up with some jerseys. So I'm making sure I wear mine today so I can show my spirit on the YouTube and Twitch streams and around town. When I go to the men's tea clinic a little later today for that syringe, I'll have my Rockets jersey on. So just spreading the good
like
spirit.
A real professional athlete.
Don't I look
getting
it?
Getting your injection.
Yeah, man. Yes, 2 days before the game. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, I'm ready to go.
I'm leaning
Listen,
into
I got
the gimmick.
A big playoff game on Sunday.
Going to
How
see
much testosterone can you give me?
Going to see my side piece right after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You know, again, then have one of your buddies who's swindling money from you come after. You've got that. You've got that guy that sold
thing.
You on being your Latin interpreter.
Yes.
Who also manages your gambling accounts.
I'm going to jam the entire crooked athlete gimmick into 24 hours.
Yeah.
Syringes, side pieces, wearing my jersey around town, the whole thing.
And
yes.
On Tuesday at 2 a.m., you're going to die of a cocaine overdose.
Exactly.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a blisteringly awesome three or four days.
The,
yeah.
The athlete of the 80s fantasy camp is what that is. Yes. I was talking.
Yeah, shout out to athletes not dying of cocaine overdoses.
It's big.
As
it's
much
a,
anymore.
It's been a good development. Yeah, no doubt.
I never get credit for that.
You and I were talking right before the show, and I said to you, and I wonder if the audience is feeling this too. Like we went the better part of 4+ years without the Rockets playing a meaningful basketball game. Like, and we survived just fine through that time.
Make
no mistake.
I developed a cocaine habit.
Make no mistake. And side pieces and syringes. And we survived just fine. Make no mistake. It is awesome having the Rockets back and being relevant and getting ready to play some high-level playoff basketball. But we went 4 years and we were okay. They last played a meaningful game, ironically enough, against Golden State on April the 6th. It was a Sunday, April the 6th. And that's 12 days ago. And I, you know, they played three meaningless games at the end of the season because they'd clinched the 2 seed. And then they haven't played a game at all in 6 days. And I'm like, I'm tripping out right now. I'm like, man, when are we going to get some Rockets basketball? It's almost as if the previous 4 years didn't even exist. It's like, hey, Sean, you survived just fine for 4 years. I know, but this has been really fun having them be very, very good at basketball again.
Well,
I can't wait for Sunday night to get here.
It'd be nice if this time last year when the Astros were really, really struggling to have playoff basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where when you've got three teams that are playoff caliber, the dead spots in the sports calendar aren't nearly as vast.
Yeah.
So that's been a part of it. It's just flat out, oh, okay, yeah. Oh yeah, this is one of those periods where you've got three playoff caliber teams. All right. I don't have to actually sit around and think about real life as much as I might otherwise.
It is really cool. Like this is truly the first time in a long time that we've had all three teams be, and it's early for the Astros, and people are probably rolling their eyes at that. Like, that's a playoff team right now. They're 8-10. They're always 8-10 this time.
Everybody's
of year.
8-10 right now.
No, in the American League, nobody's won more than 11 games. Like, nobody's out of it at this point at all. But yeah, so for the Rockets, okay, so let's rapid fire this Rockets
Yankees
thing.
Yankees have 12 now, by the way.
They do. They won last night.
So do the Rangers.
Bastards. Yeah. And Rangers are phony. So the storylines with this series here, I was thinking about this last night. What are the reasons I'm most excited? In Pendergast fashion, I've got five of them here. Counting down. Draymond versus Dylan Brooks. And really, Draymond versus the world. Everybody versus Draymond. As much as I complained about Draymond in that April 6th game that I just got done talking about, where he was at major, like, scale of 1 to 10, 12 a-hole level in that game, and I'm like, I can't do seven games of this. I've changed my mind. I can do seven games of this. This is fun.
I guess my big question for Draymond versus Dylan is, who's more baitable? That you got to be careful about all of that. You know, Dylan Brooks, by and large, people had their feelings about Dylan Brooks, but when he said that he pokes bears in talking about LeBron James, that's where everything kind of blew up in his face in terms of the way people were talking about Dylan Brooks. Whatever it comes to pushing the envelope or pushing the line, I think the Rockets hopefully are very much the team that the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, where the Eagles knew what the challenge was, and they didn't fall for any of Travis Kelce's BS.
That's right.
Travis Kelce was out there doing all the crap that he gets away with. Like, Travis Kelce gets away with stuff the same way Draymond Green does, of trying to instigate, and the Eagles were really disciplined about just like, nah, bro. We're gonna instigate you every now and then.
Yeah,
but they did not bite, and I think that's big. You don't have to prove your manhood or something versus Draymond.
Dylan was asked about that yesterday. I don't have the clip. I just happened you brought this up, and I happened to see him talking to the media yesterday at practice, and they asked him, like, who's gonna cave first? Like, who's gonna, you know? And he's like, I'm not getting ejected from any of these games. They need Dylan Brooks out there. That's the thing. Like, Draymond's goonery is just woven into, like, if Draymond is not that, then he's not Draymond. Whereas I think Dylan Brooks, to your point, Seth, I think has kind of evolved as a basketball person. I mean, he still is chippy. It's still part of his thing. He also happens to be the Rockets, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm putting Reed Sheppard out of this conversation, he's their best three-point shooter this year. He's shot 40% from three this year. They need Dylan Brooks out on the floor. Like, he can't fall for any of this.
He's just got to wear a cup.
Yeah. Because
Draymond at some point is going to pull his patented crotch kick.
Yep.
That's where a big tough guy's signature move is to kick you in the nargs.
Yep.
Just be careful.
Number four. That was number five. Draymond versus Dylan. Number four, exercising the ghosts of the Harden era, which the team has completely downplayed. Like, Fred VanVleet got asked about it the other day. Like, how about all those series that the Rockets lost to the Warriors back from 2015 to 2019? He's like, I don't care. I don't. That's a different team. Like, this is that. That has
these
nothing
guys don't
to do
have
with
that.
It.
Yeah, these guys don't have that memory of it. It's kind of like when the Texans play the Bills. That's an extreme version of it. All right, the fans feel a certain way about
it because
the Oilers versus the Bills.
Yeah,
but the players on the team have zero clue about it.
But I do
even the ones who grew up in Houston, they're young enough now that they have very little clue about it.
But I do think it's relevant to the fans. I think there is a big feeling of the laundry out on the floor, the jerseys, that they would be exercising some of those ghosts. Number three, I think this is a massive opportunity for Jalen Green to go from rising star to star, not just in this series, but in this postseason. And Jalen Green's game has evolved tremendously over the course of this season, where he's gone from being a 20 or 21 point scorer, which he was already last year, to being an efficient 20 or 21 point per game scorer who has learned to see the whole floor. He's become a better ball distributor. He's become a more willing defender. And they're going to be playing in some close games, and this team is going to be leaning on him late in those games to go get baskets.
Yeah, and he passed a big maturity check in the last Warriors game, where he wasn't playing well in the first half, came out and just flipped the switch in the second half.
Yes.
And everything that he's done in working with Ime Udoka and just becoming a just much more calm, cool, and collected veteran player, that's put to the test in the playoffs. Yeah, like, and okay, does he maintain those habits? Does he maintain all that? I trust that he will.
Yeah.
It's a big test versus the Warriors.
It's a big test, and it's a huge opportunity for him, man. I think a bigger opportunity for him than any other player on the Rockets in terms of their profile. Number two, Ime Udoka redemption time. Not just redemption. I mean, look, when he lost in the finals as the coach of the Celtics. It was to the Warriors, you know, so he's back 3 years ago, I think, in 2022.
Yeah.
So he's got a history with the Warriors. He was off the grid for a year after the way in which he got fired in Boston. You know, a deep Rockets playoff run. I think people already respect Ime Udoka as a head coach. They know he's a good head coach. To be able to put playoff productivity with this new team that he has in year two with it, I think would be a major story.
Yeah, no, and I think that's probably the biggest X factor in terms of a team that doesn't look like the conventional championship caliber team or a team that makes a deep playoff run. They also excel at a lot of things, the rebound specifically, rebounding specifically. But Udoka and his ability to kind of exploit matchups and his ability to make adjustments throughout the game, I feel a whole lot better about Ime Udoka than if you had some guy that was a rookie head coach with zero playoff experience.
Or rookie head coach, or just one of these retreads that just happens to hook up with you know, you see this.
Yeah.
The league is full of coaches like that. They're like, guy's on their third team, but he's a good networker. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to
drive my race car. Let's drive the same race car and see who does better. I like Udoka better than Doc Rivers.
Yes. Yeah. Doc Rivers, perfect example. Perfect example of that. Yes. So
Steve Kerr, I'm not so sure about. We'll have to see.
The problem is
Steve Kerr has been in this race. Steve Kerr has a lot of experience and time with his race car. Udoka does not have nearly as much time with his race car. And at various times this year, it needed tuning up.
Yeah. I think Kerr's a good head coach. He's just, he's so whiny, man. He's so whiny.
I think he's a good head coach.
To stay on a transcript, that would look like a compliment. On this radio show, it sounded like, on the radio show, it was very begrudging. It sounds
a little bit almost like the Take a Mania take by Angelo Cataldi.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr is the all-time overrated head coach.
I'll tell you something. At least I didn't call him a fraud.
Yeah.
All right. And then the final one, disrespect for the two seed, man. It's been a long time since I can remember a higher seeded team being, and this isn't like a four getting dismissed over a five. This is a two that clinched the two with a week and a half left in the season, and they are getting completely dismissed on the national talk shows. The pundits, they had their picks on ESPN, Seth, like all their NBA experts. You know, they do that thing before the playoffs, and they just list on a grid like what all eight of their experts have, and it's like Warriors in seven, Warriors in six, Warriors in six. There was one ESPN expert, Bobby Marks, the former GM for the Nets, picked the Rockets in six. Other than that, it was just the Warriors love fest. Just everybody slurping up the Warriors.
They transitioned very quickly from, the NCAA tournament needs Cinderella's. That's what's missing from the beauty of it. To you go to the NBA, it's like, oh, Houston Rockets, die by fire, die by fire. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Payne and Pendergast, what are your thoughts? Did I miss any there on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line? If you're up with us this morning, hit us up, 713-572-4610. So we're off and running. Plenty of Rockets talk today on the show. Thank you again to the Rockets for the jersey that I know they got everybody up here at the station. I saw people around town unveiling theirs as well. So that's really cool to see, man. It's got to be fun in the building over there right now. No doubt about that. So if you're up early with us, we appreciate that. Up next, we finally heard from Aaron Rodgers, and he gave us an update on whether he's going to play again, but the story of his trip to New York to meet with the Jets, and this kind of has a Houston tie, given that Aaron Glenn is the coach of the Jets now.
And I know Aaron. I played with Aaron. I enjoy envisioning this in my mind and seeing how it all went down.
As I'm listening to this story, I'm like, I cannot wait for Seth to hear this story or to talk about this story with him on Friday. So we will we'll do that. That thing I couldn't wait for, we will do coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, one of the dangling storylines out there this NFL offseason is, what's Aaron Rodgers going to do? And it almost feels like the Pittsburgh Steelers are the one team that's just in gridlock right now because they're waiting on this. There's no other team sitting around waiting for Aaron Rodgers. There's other teams that he's been rumored to be talking to or look like they could be fits for Aaron Rodgers. The Saints popped up this week because this Derek Carr shoulder injury. Like, oh, what about Aaron Rodgers there? The Minnesota Vikings, I think, you know, very much at one time in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, they appear to have moved on. They're going to move forward with J.J. McCarthy. The Steelers are the one team, though, Seth, that is, they've got no solution at quarterback right
now. They've got no solution, and they have at least made him an offer already.
Yes, and met with him.
Yeah, they met with him. So that is an option that it seems like Aaron Rodgers could have pulled the trigger at any point and maybe still could. And maybe we'll see what happens after the draft.
Yep.
The Vikings stuff was interesting. When Rodgers spoke on the Pat McAfee show, I don't think we have this clip. He said that, look, Kevin O'Connell and I have known each other a long time, and yeah, he claims they've just chatted on the phone and that they haven't talked about any actual contract stuff or anything, which I'm open to that being true.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. So Minnesota's out there as well. The Steelers are the big one. And so Aaron Rodgers, the reason we bring this up, he was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday for the first time in a long time. And he was asked, are you, where are you at right now with everything?
From the jump, it's, I'm in a different phase of my life. I'm 41 years old. I'm in a serious relationship. I have off the field stuff going on that requires my attention. I have personal commitments I made, not knowing what my future was going to look like after last year, that are important to me. And I have, you know, a couple of people in my inner circle who are really battling some difficult stuff. So I have a lot of things that are taking my attention and have beginning in really January away from football. That's been where I've been focusing most of my attention on. You know, to make a commitment to a team is a big thing, whether you're a first-year player or a 20-year vet.
Okay, so we've now heard from him, and we now have a little bit of insight as to why things are delayed. This is my question for you, Seth. If you were a Steeler fan and you just heard those 40 seconds worth of audio,
yeah,
where would you be in wanting Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback?
This is where I think that you can separate any personal feelings that you might have about Aaron Rodgers, whether you love him or hate him, and also say, all right, man, I don't – the 40-year-old quarterback that my team is signing, I would prefer that he's in a position where he's still got a chip on his shoulder and wants to prove something and that is totally, perhaps unhelpfully, committed to dominating at football. Yeah. So I don't fault him or blame him for potentially having things going on in his life. It's just that the guys who are in their prime tend to be able to compartmentalize that stuff, yeah, and they're nose to the grindstone, head down. I got to take care of my personal life. I got to take care of that. And it just doesn't sound like a guy that's going to come in and really just be all in on committing to learning a new offense, his teammates, everything else like that.
Yeah, he went to Egypt during mandatory minicamp when he was under contract to a team last year.
And maybe that's where one of his inner circle members was.
Yeah, maybe so. I guess
starting
that
to sound like a secret cabal now. That
might be.
We have an inner circle in Egypt.
Yeah,
we have an inner circle in Pakistan.
Nothing weird about it at all. Yeah. A lot
Some
of
people
guys
might call it a cell. I call it a circle.
Oh, jeez. So I guess that might be the better question for you, just as a former player. Like if you're Cam Hayward, or you're T.J. Watt, who's never won a playoff game as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Like if you're a current player on the Steelers who has a sense of urgency about wanting to win something significant, how do you feel when you hear that?
And look at the thing about Tom Brady in his final season. He had something going on in his inner circle.
He did.
It was the octagon.
Yeah.
Because this is the
It was an octagon.
The martial artist who was vacationing with his wife was kind of a distraction.
Yeah,
at that
he had
point.
One too many jiu-jitsu instructors in his inner circle back in 2022.
Yeah, and it wasn't. You know, it's not like Tom Brady's a bad dude or anything, but man, he was distracted. He missed a chunk of training camp and wasn't there for the preseason. And you know, there's other things going on, but man, when you get to that stage in life that you don't have that same edge, then I'd be real hesitant on thinking that you're going to come in and get a completely dialed in and committed to do whatever it takes to turn this team around type of attitude out of a guy like that.
Yeah, and it's for me, with respect to the Steelers, I just wonder if it heightens their desire to get a quarterback in the draft. You know, if they at 21, they're picking 21st. Is next week when the sand runs out in the hourglass for them waiting on Aaron Rodgers and they just say screw it and they take Shedeur Sanders if he slips to 21, or do they take Jackson Dart if he's there at 21, or do they take a flyer and take Jalen Milroe, who's starting to get a little bit of buzz in the first round? Like that'll be a real interesting tipping point. There's a lot of really interesting, I was going to say touch points, but I know that that's a four-letter word now thanks to the magical Gladstone. But it is. Like, that's an interesting juncture in the draft now because of this Rodgers drama.
It's an interesting thing that in the life of any highly motivated person, when you get to a point where maybe you've had some personal growth and maybe you have a different perspective on things, that's great, and it might be awesome for your personal life and for your just your life in general, but that doesn't always mean it's the best thing for... Yeah, you think about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan and Larry Bird are probably the two best examples of, like, all right, these dudes have demons that drive them. And if they had come to the terms with their demons at some point, that might have been curtains for them. You gotta maintain, for some athletes who are driven in a certain way, it's not always the best thing to find peace in life.
No, you say it
at least
all the
in
time.
Terms of their, it's not in terms of their athletic career.
What is it that you say that you want your quarterbacks to have? Like, just this irrational, like,
I want them to have a lack of perspective on life.
That's what it is. I knew it was something very specific. Aaron Rodgers, this is a text to the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Aaron is just cringeworthy clickbait now, ruining his legacy. All right, on the heels of that text, now this story, I will tell you up front, this audio is a couple minutes long, but I could not find a good spot to cut Aaron Rodgers off in this story. I found this story to be engrossing and fascinating, and I wonder, after this is over, do you feel sympathetic at all to Aaron Rodgers in his final interactions with the New York Jets? Now, keep in mind, Aaron Glenn, Texans legend, your former teammate, Seth, is now the head coach of the New York Jets, and he is a prominent part of this story. This is Aaron Rodgers' story of his final visit to the Jets, in which he, I don't think you could tell, he was not anticipating them moving on from him as quickly as they did.
That was an interesting 2 years, to say the least, but, you know, I figured that when I flew across country on my own dime, that there was going to be a conversation. And the confusing thing to me, and the strange thing, was, you know, when I went out there, I meet with the coach, we start talking, he runs out of the room. I'm like, that's kind of strange. I was like, then he comes back with the GM, and I'm like, all right. So we sit down in the office, and I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country. And 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his sheet and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback. And I said, and I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone. If we weren't going to have a conversation, and this is verbatim exactly how it happened. So I said, huh? And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a shit about the message. And I said, why? And then he said, I don't want to be up in front of the room saying something and have guys looking back at
you.
Interesting. And I said, what does that even mean? Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting undermining what you're saying? I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly, which is why I flew across the country to have a face-to-face meeting with you to talk about my experience with the Jets and to hear your vision for the team. 20 seconds in. What I thought was going to be a couple-hour meeting turned into like a 15-minute meeting, and I walked out of there. But
So at that moment,
that was a strange meeting for sure. There was no me pleading like, please have me on the team. No.
I don't know.
Or, I don't want any part of that. It was already a debacle.
Okay. Now, real quick, Seth, one of the important components of that 2 minutes is at the very end where you could tell Aaron Rodgers was trying to set the record straight because the reports were that he was begging the Jets to keep him.
Yeah, that's the big one. Yeah. Right, yeah. And he started off this interview saying, like, look, I haven't talked to the media in 3 months. I've got two people, my sister and a friend of mine, that have basically kept me kind of up to speed on what's going on, and it seemed like might be time to go set the record straight on something.
And I believe that he's been unplugged from all this.
I believe that he's been unplugged. If we were to kind of go through and talk about, okay, what's believable here, and then what's, I'm not going to say he's lying, but what's his version of the story or the way he perceives it, where it might be different. I do believe that he was not pleading to be on the team. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers was like, no, Aaron, you gotta, come on, man, you just gotta give me a chance.
I don't think he begs anybody for anything.
No. I think that some of the either misreporting about that perhaps might have been that I'm curious about just exactly how the meeting came to be. If Aaron at some point said, hey, you know what, guys, I'm going to come meet you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And did it on his own. He did it on his own dime.
Yeah.
Which I'm guessing at first I was like, okay, whatever, big deal. But it was probably a private jet. So it was a lot of dimes.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm pretty sure it was on a private jet because the next, he ended up going to Pittsburgh at one point and flew into a private airport. So, I think that's the dime is actually a bigger deal than it might be.
Yeah.
The most realistic scenario in my mind is that Aaron Rodgers said, hey, I want to come see you guys, that he instigated the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just me purely speculating.
Sure.
And that in the interim, the Jets were in the mode of, all right, listen, are we going to have a conversation with him, or are we just going to make a decision and pull this Band-Aid off right now? I take issue with the way he phrased Aaron Glenn ran out of the room. I take a huge issue with that. Knowing everything I know about Aaron Glenn and the time I've spent with him, a dude who was very, very small as an NFL defensive cornerback, There's no get back in Aaron. Like, wait a second. I got to go get the GM. So to characterize it as Aaron Glenn running out of the room, I'm calling bogus on that.
Yep. So I'm with you on that. I think it's interesting that he doesn't refer to Aaron Glenn by name at all in those 2.5 minutes.
Or the GM, Darren.
Or the GM. Well,
Darren Moogie.
The GM, he might just be like me, where I'm like, I can't remember the GM's name. But Aaron Glenn is, you know, like, I think that's just sort of interest. That feels like a little passive aggressive. Like, he just doesn't refer to him by name through the 2.5 minutes there. I do wonder, like, if the Jets had called, I think you're right about, I had not thought about that. If I had to guess, it probably is Aaron Rodgers who's called. I can't imagine an NFL team, even one as ratchet as the Jets, having a guy fly across country on their dime or anybody's dime to tell him in a 15-minute meeting that we're moving on from you.
Unless they made the decision as Aaron Glenn, as Aaron Rodgers is in air or something. The part about I don't want the guys in the room looking back at you, I could see as basically Aaron Glenn at some point has got to say, taking a look around for the last few months, like, all right, boy, this place just needs a purge in general.
For sure, yeah.
And whether it's Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't have to necessarily mean anything about Aaron Rodgers individually, but if he's the guy, if he's not the quarterback that you really want on your team, then I'm not going to keep around a bunch of stuff from this previous dysfunctional mess.
Yeah.
And so however Aaron Glenn phrased it, maybe he could have phrased it better. I don't know what he actually said, but I'm not looking at that as any way of Aaron Glenn mishandling it.
Now, the part where he says Aaron Glenn leans in and says, do you want to play football?
Yeah.
Like, if we're just taking that at face value, that would imply that there's a right and a wrong answer to that. That maybe if he saw some sort of fire, he being Aaron Glenn, saw some sort of fire in Aaron Rodgers, that maybe their mind wasn't made up yet. But yeah. If the answer was as sheepish as Aaron Rodgers made it out to be, like, yeah, I'm interested. I might have moved on from him too at that point.
Playing like he's a feline or something. Like, oh, maybe I want you to pet me. Oh, no. I don't want you to pet me.
Yeah, I'm interested. It almost sounded like John Mara. Like, yeah, I'm interested. What's the latest?
Like everything we were just talking about, the actions speak a lot louder than words. Yeah. And Aaron Glenn's a guy that skipped the mandatory OTAs last year to go, or mandatory minicamp last year to go on a vacation to Egypt. So Aaron might have genuinely been open to, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. Do you want to play football next year?
Yeah.
I'm interested.
What's the latest with my football? Yeah. Like that's.
It seems like Jets fans, by and large, are cool with the Jets and Aaron Glenn for the way he handled this.
I think they're right. Well, I think you're right.
Or at least Aaron's version of how they handled it.
At the very least. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers' version. Yeah, like it's at the very least. I mean, Aaron Glenn's the one that you know, if you're going to love the one you're with, he's the one right now. You know, he's your head coach. So
he mentioned multiple times in this 45-minute interview that there were people in his inner circle who were dealing with some serious things. It's hard for me. It's a cynical part of me, and maybe it's a little bit of projection, but it just always feels to me that my first reaction to hearing that is like when the kid says his paper is late because he's got personal issues.
Yeah.
And just you don't know whether to take, without knowing the specifics of it, I just, I'm like, all right, man. Lots of people have stuff with people in their inner circle, you know, and it's just I'm not faulting him for it if that's what he cares about more now.
Right.
It's just that it's clear that it's not the same as a 28-year-old who's driven to win another Super Bowl and figures out a way to handle it all at the same time.
Well put. All right, headlines coming up next. We've got big Astros series coming up. This is not what the doctor ordered for the Astros. We'll get into that. The Rockets get their playoff run started on Sunday. Odds out on the NFL teams making the playoffs. Where do the Texans sit with that? We've got a retirement in the NFL. A lot of stuff to get to in headlines, and we'll do that coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's get to headlines. Let's start with the Astros. They were off last night, so they didn't lose. That was good. They have the Padres coming to town, which is not exactly what I would write up as the ideal situation. The Padres are 15-4. They're the best team in baseball right now. So this will be a great test for the Astros. Ryan Gusto, Hayden Wisniewski, and then Framber on Sunday. Those are your three starting pitchers this weekend for the Astros, Seth, as they come back home, one of the worst hitting teams in baseball. And given what a swamp of 8 to 12 win teams the AL is right now, it would be nice. This would be a series. If the Astros, I would sign up for a series win. I would sign up for a 2-1 weekend right now against the San Diego Padres.
This is exactly what the doctor ordered if you want exciting baseball. Now, you know what? Because the Astros have played some kind of boring and humdrum opponents so far, there is something to that old dynamic of the Astros playing down to their opponents, even when they were really, really good. It is a natural thing. I don't think that's specific to the Astros, but this might be just the juice and everything else that gets them going. And if I were to hope for one realistic positive development this weekend, it would be Yordan Alvarez hitting 4 home runs in the series.
Oh, hey.
Or just something, you know, Yordan, just it clicking for Yordan versus a team where somebody's going to have to click.
Yeah. That last at-bat he had in that St. Louis series, that 419-foot home run or whatever it was hopefully kind of, that was Yordan kind of unleashing the beast in him. That would be a good one. As I just look ahead at the entire weekend, it's kind of a sneaky big start for Framber Valdez coming up this weekend on Sunday. It's big for the team just because they need to start winning. It's big for Framber because he's been, in a way, has been a microcosm of what the Astros have been all year. He's made 4 starts. 2 of them have been dynamite, and the other 2 have not been good at all. And his last start, he was abysmal. He gave up 7 earned runs in 4 innings. This is Framber going against a good team on Sunday. It's going to be on Sunday Night Baseball right there up against the Rockets game. Actually, it might not be, because that starts at 6. Ooh, Sunday night just got fun with that 8:30 start with the Rockets. You got the Astros at 6 and then the Rockets at 8:30. Okay, so they don't really overlap with each other. Anyways, big start for Framber on Sunday is my point with this, Seth. Early in the season, he's got nearly a 5 ERA here early in the season in his contract year. You know, it's big for him personally.
Yeah, no, and I think that we've seen this before with Framber where he might scuttle for an appearance or two and then he gets things back on track. And like that would be the other good I hesitated when I was trying to figure out, okay, what positive development is most realistic. I think it's also very realistic that it's probably more realistic that Framber, you know, just has a typical Framber performance than Yordan hitting 4 home runs. But the I'm not worried about Framber. I'm just I feel like that's not as big a notable thing in terms of turning the team around as Yordan looking like vintage Yordan.
I agree with that. I agree with that part of it for sure. If I had to pick between the two, I'd say, yeah, like if I had to pick between what I just said and you just said, I'll take the Yordan 4 home runs over the weekend for sure. Rockets get started with their playoff run on Sunday night, as we just mentioned, 8:30 against the Golden State Warriors. The final play-in games are tonight. This is a... It's a lot of work to decide who gets their nuts chopped off by the Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's a lot of moving parts to decide who gets fed to these beasts that are the one seeds. But at any rate, Miami is at Atlanta tonight. Miami, of course, just won a couple nights ago for the right to go to Atlanta. And then Dallas at Memphis is the late game tonight. Dallas is really interesting because nobody believes in anything going on with the Mavericks right now, including their entire fan base. Yeah. That would be fascinating. Like, I'm rooting for Dallas in this just because it would be a fun storyline to have them in the postseason with this newfangled team they've put together.
Do you think that might be, for their home games, do you think it might be a little bit of a hate watch enticement that you want to go? And if you're somebody who wants to, you know, loudly demand that the owners sell or the GM is fired or whatever, that they're almost hoping for pain.
They want to see
the Mavericks get throttled by 30 at home.
This is my prediction, and I don't think it's going to come to fruition because I think Memphis wins tonight. But if Dallas were to win and have to play or get to play in a playoff series against the Oklahoma City Thunder, we're going to hear a lot of from various corners of the NBA universe, like, hey, it's not the players who traded Luka Doncic.
It's management.
Yeah. So let's support the guys out there on the floor, okay? All right. The get-in price for tonight's game in Memphis is $14.
Oh.
Play-in fever. Catch it. Yeah, $14. You can get into that game if you want to tonight.
How are we feeling about the play-in scenario now that we've got some?
I like it because it's more basketball. But it's I will say this. A more depressing night. If you're a basketball fan, there was no more depressing night of basketball than the two 9-10 games the other night.
Yeah.
Like, these are two teams that clearly don't belong with all these other teams. A couple of them, you could argue, might not even want to be there. I think half the guys playing in those games were ready to get on with their vacations.
I think the play-ins suck, except that it does create circumstances where the teams that are, you know, better than the regular season suggests. It makes the end of the regular season way more important.
Yes, yes. Staying out of the play-in for teams.
Yeah, so in the games where some of the play-in teams have been really, like, the better team has a chance of losing a single playoff. You can be the much better team and lose a single playoff game. That you get a lot more desperate at the end of the year.
The last Sunday of the season where it was all these teams in the West trying to stay out of the play-in was more interesting to me than the actual play-in itself. Well, I shouldn't say. The play-in in the West was interesting for us this year because it determined who the Rockets were going to play.
Yeah.
That was very specific.
I think so. By and large, I still think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I don't take issue with it at all. Just that Wednesday night was... like, oh,
a lot of the play-in games are going to be things that you just genuinely don't care about, but it does make the end of the season way more interesting.
Yeah.
So the net effect has been a positive.
I think so, too. Speaking of the postseason, odds are out. The Texans are a -140 yes to make the postseason this year, Seth. That equates to a 58% chance of making the postseason. Do you feel like right now your gut that the Texans have a greater than or less than a 58% chance of making the postseason this year?
That's hard because I know that these things are never as slam dunk as you think. If you look at the best teams in the league and it's like 75% probability or whatever. I would say greater just because of the division.
Yeah, me too.
I don't, and because of the Texans defense. I'm kind of getting to that point where I'm very eager to see what this offense looks like, and I'm maybe getting a little bit nervous about what the offense might look like. But the defense is so good and has the potential to get even better in a division that's still going to be pretty weak.
Defense, basically the guys they lost from their defense from last year,
yeah,
were Foley Fatakasi, Neville Hewitt, and Eric Murray. And they brought in C.J. Gardner-Johnson, E.J. Speed, and you know they brought back a few guys on the D-line. You know?
Yeah, I get nervous when we start having chats like that, though, because it's never the same.
Welcome
it's
to radio, pal.
You don't get to just pick up and where you left off, and then there you go.
Get comfy. Yeah. You know who you're doing a show with.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan Ramczyk retires, the former right tackle for the Saints. His career, I looked it up last night, Seth. At one point, he was arguably the best right tackle in football for about 3 years. I didn't realize his career was so short, especially for an offensive lineman. When I looked in to see which year he came into the league, I'm like, was he part of that 2011 draft that was so good or that 2014 draft that was so good? Oh, no, he was part of that 2017 draft. He only really played seven seasons because he didn't play at all last year because of injuries.
Yeah, no, and that first, I want to say in 2017, his rookie year, wasn't their opening game the Monday night game versus the, that might not
that was 2019
that.
When they opened against the Texans. Right,
I remember in 2019 he had a really good game versus the Texans.
He was first team all pro that year.
Thinking, boy, he's handling some of the guys that I didn't, I was impressed with Ryan Ramczyk in that game.
He is retiring from football. After his 7-year career. All right, those are your headlines for today. Man, I'm fired up. Headlines for today and a big weekend coming up. Up next, okay, the NFL announced the players, current and former, who are going to be announcing some of the picks on day two of the draft. We'll tell you who's going to be announcing the Texans pick, and we'll also play where the bar is sort of right now for announcing picks for the Texans. We'll have that for you and a whole lot more coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour, including a breakdown of a Texans draft prospect that you're going to love hearing. We've got that coming up next.